Welcome to the Build Guild Podcast, a professionally unprofessional podcast for makers. I'm Joe, and I'm guest hosting tonight.
Woo!
Today.
From Make Do Extraordinaire.
Yeah. Make Do.
Tell us what Make Do is.
All right. Make Do is a nonprofit that uses creativity, that's the make, as a way to engage community with like connection and compassion. That's the do. So
are you doing this every day?
Yeah, it's full time for me now. So this year is the first time it's full time.
Have you had jobs last year, I guess?
Yeah, more like jobs that I was hanging on to because I wasn't quite sure if I could do it full time. But then I ended up having to pay taxes. So then I just shouldn't have had the extra jobs. So
is that
anyway,
how that worked out?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
But now it's full time.
So I'm in a position where like, I'm kind of part-time, and I'm kind of on the brink of, I probably should pay taxes or be a business. Like, where were you at that point? You know what I mean?
Well,
when do you turn a side hustle that's like a little cash in your pocket to?
Yeah.
This is...
It's different for me, because Make Do is a business separate than me. So, I get a salary from Make Do.
Okay.
So, because I get a paycheck, there's a paper trail.
Yeah.
So, then you have to pay taxes when there's a paper trail.
So it is a nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you have a board and all that, right?
I have a board. So two of them are local and then one of them is not.
Do you find that board?
Find it boring?
No. Do you go out and find the people to be on your board?
Yeah.
Whatever.
When I first started, I was living in Dallas. And so I found people who cared about me. And then, I mean, they said yes to be on my board, but it wasn't because they necessarily felt connected to Make Do. Yeah. And so when I moved to Searcy and I needed to find new board members, it was more important. I mean, obviously I want them to like me, but also be invested in the work that we do with Make Do and be able to help with that. So,
right.
Nice.
Yeah. Are they in there with you doing stuff or are they hands off?
They are hands-on when I need help. So, like, last night there was a Beats and Eats. So, my board, they talk to strangers better than I do. So, then they stand at my booth for Beats and Eats, and I, like, sit back in the corner.
Oh, that's awesome.
Until someone comes up and asks a question that then they'll be like, Joe can tell you.
Okay.
And so, then I'll talk more. But they're my social buffers. So, they help with things like that. Yeah. And then they're heavily involved more on the fundraising side of things. So like we have an annual fundraiser, they help a lot with that. And more the strategic planning, making sure that the things that are taking up my time are also the things that are in line with Make Do's mission and that sort of thing.
The mission is
using creativity as a way to create shared experience within our community. So and that, go ahead.
You're doing that with what, I guess?
With what medium,
I guess.
What does that look like in the room day to day?
Yeah, so we do anything creative. So I have 10 sewing machines in Make Do Studio. We do a lot of sewing. I teach 6-week quilting classes for adults. I teach sewing classes for kids. And then pretty much any other creativity thing. Like you could come teach a wood burning class.
I love to start fires.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll have a fire making class.
That would be cool.
So hand embroidery, watercolor, lettering, needle felting, macrame. Today we did a lap loom weaving class.
Are you a pro at all of this stuff?
No.
Like every single one of these classes are taught by you?
You've reached out to special makers. Like I know Claire for watercolor.
Uh-huh.
I think I remember that.
Okay. So I like to bring people in to teach class as much as possible. Okay. Because then it's not something that I'm having to teach myself, and it gives people a way to engage with community.
Pulling in more of the makers.
Yeah. Well, and I think, not to make this political or about women or church or whatever, but sometimes as a woman, you don't know where you can fit in or how you can not serve, but like, you know, use your gift and use your voice. And so that is... just another avenue of what Make Do is for is to give particularly women a place to see that thing they like to do, their hobby or their craft or whatever is valuable and they can teach other people.
Nice.
What percent of the people that come to Make Do is women, I guess. And then maybe the age ranges.
Yeah.
What
was that? It's like 99% women. But not because I don't want MakeDo to be a women's thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that so far that's what it's attracted.
Yeah.
So come do some things.
Come start some fires.
Yeah.
That's right, fellas. Come on down to MakeDo. We're going to start fires. We're
going to make some hunting knives. We should definitely
team up and do something.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but something for sure.
Skin a rabbit.
So one of my favorite things we did was a daddy-daughter craft around Valentine's Day. So we did string art with, you know, nails and hammers.
Yeah.
So the dads brought their girls. It was bring your own hammer. And they just sat together and
that is awesome.
Nailed hammers into a heart. And those dads were brave because they just held the nails while those girls nailed the hammer. And then they wrapped it with string and they got their pictures taken, their daddy-daughter portraits and stuff. So
That's an amazing idea. Yeah. That's really, really good.
I've seen some of that on Instagram with not women. I've seen a lot of people doing like the state and then doing some weird home or something like that. That's really cool. Yeah. If I had a daughter, I would have went.
Yeah. It's good because there aren't many things that put us in like close in proximity to each other. So even if I played catch in the front yard with my dad all the time, but logistically that puts space between you.
Right.
But when you're sitting right next to your dad, cause you're working on the same project, it's just a little bit different.
That is true. Mm-hmm. So. It's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
What brought you to start MakeDo? Like what were you doing before? And then you're like, you know,
I've done a lot of my education in my 20s were very chaotic and I did a lot of different experience. So I went to Harding. I was an interior design major. Brian and I actually did a group project together in college.
Yeah.
Did you have to pull the weight for him?
Obviously.
I'm not even paying attention. I'm just drawing what I want to draw over here.
Do you have to pull the weight for him on the podcast?
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yeah. and then I got an MBA. And then I've never used either of those, I guess, until now.
Because we might have been in the same classes, and I got one, too.
Maybe.
And I am an exterminator full-time, so.
Yeah.
We should really stop mentioning that, because Harding's going to be like, we have a useless MBA program. That's true.
Great MBA program.
Yeah. Use this for their commercial.
Yeah. So, anyway, I ended up in Ireland and doing mission work. And while I was there, there was a youth camp that we were involved in Northern Ireland. And one year I was given the difficult girls. One of them, the year before, one girl shaved another girl's eyebrow off while she was sleeping.
Nice.
And they were both in my tent this second year. So I was a little terrified for my eyebrows. And I was scared of them. I mean, they were 14, but 14-year-old girls, they're scary. In
Northern Ireland, they know how to make, like,
yeah,
Molotov cocktails and
that's it. So
yeah,
and now they in the hell they roll,
like, pretty much. But so anyway, at the end of camp, we all survived. We all left with our eyebrows. Oh. But they asked if I would be their counselor next year, and when I said yes, the girl who asked said, "Really? Because no one ever wants us." So then they got really bold and asked if they could come stay with me in Dublin, and I said yes because it was 5 hours on the train, and I thought, there's no way they will. Well, then they came and stayed with me for 9 days.
God, how many?
Three.
Three 14-year-old girls who spent the summer with you just came and...
Yeah.
Wow.
Brian, you're going to have three 14-year-old girls?
No, not all at once. Yeah, well, it'll be 12, 14, and 16. So. Yeah.
Well.
So I was just trying to come up with stuff to do to keep them busy so they wouldn't be smoking and loitering outside of my apartment.
Good for you.
Shaving eyebrows off. Mm. And so we sewed pillow covers, like with strips of fabric. And I thought they would roll their eyes and hate it and not want to do it. But we spent the whole day. They went through the entire creative process. So, you know, you're overwhelmed at the beginning. You don't know exactly where to start. You have too many choices. You narrow it down. You find the stuff you like. You learn a new skill. So none of them knew how to sew. So they start sewing on the sewing machine. Of course, they mess up. So then there's that kind of frustration. They have to get the seam ripper out, start over. And at the end of the day, they had finished their pillows. So we took pictures because they're good 14-year-olds and posted on Facebook. And we spent that entire evening of them logging on Facebook, looking at, you know, counting all the likes and reading all the comments. And I saw them go from that idea at camp a few years before of no one ever wants us to this new realization that they had made something that people were wanting, that people saw value in. And that got reflected back onto them. I mean, it was fleeting because the next day they woke up and, they're 14-year-old girls. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time that I recognized the impact creativity has on our souls, like on a deep level. And I had never heard anyone talk about creativity and faith, but I think that creativity, I would argue that it's the most fundamental aspect of God's image in humanity. So that means we're all creative. Mm. And I don't think you have to be a believer in a creator to still see that kids are creative. Every kid is creative. And then something happens along the way that disconnects us from that. And that's a lie, that thing that tells us we're not creative. Mm. So I think the act, the process of engaging creativity restores us back to who we were created to be in the garden. So things like identity and value and purpose, all of that gets restored through the act of creativity because we're connecting with the divine in us.
I have to say that's an interesting thought because I teach art now here in town, here in Searcy, and I started in high school, so what, 15 through 18, and that was not easy some days because they, I mean, what you said happened at some point, it happened for many of them. They didn't want to do what we had to do in the art room. And now I'm in fifth and sixth grade, and practically all of them still think they're artists and makers. I don't have to. I mean, some of them, I'll put paper and pencil down, and like they'll start a fire on their desk. They're going so fast. Mm-hmm. I don't have to show them anything. So taking those 14-year-old girls, you were right there in that weird gray area where we're growing up. We're all awkward, and suddenly we care about what everyone's thinking about us, and we don't really have time to be free and make things and be creative. So that was good. It was an amazing place to start with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it in the classes we teach at McDo. So I teach sewing to kids and I teach sewing to adults. And with the kids, I don't have to convince them that they can do it. They have so much creative courage and they come in and what's the new project? And I could tell them, you're going to make your prom dress. And they would be like, yes, I've been wanting to do that. I have five ideas already. So they will do anything. With the kids, I have to slow them down and we have to practice a little bit more on like precision and not being perfect, but you know, just making sure we don't sew our fingers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's important.
But with the adults, I have to convince them every time, every night that they can do it. And so we make a quilt and it takes us 6 weeks and everyone at the beginning thinks, I don't think I can do this. So then I have to convince them. Well, I don't convince them. They just do it. And then at the end of 6 weeks, they've done it.
So you just keep reaffirming them that they can do that.
Yeah.
I also like what you said about the creativity and the soul being linked. One of the greatest things I love is, you know, when they're in the wilderness and Moses and they're talking about the tabernacle and they're all the things to build it and all the things going into it. There's a ton of people that it must have taken to build that huge, like, tent, right? But he only mentions two names, and it's the craftsman, the stone craftsman, and the wood craftsman. Like, those two guys are the only, by name, creative artists that are mentioned when they're talking about building the tabernacle. And it's because they had these gifts, and they were using it for that purpose. So there is, like, I love how there is that tie of spirituality there.
It's really sad to become an adult and lose that. Like, are we taught that to come out of us? Because the adults are teaching us not to be a child. I thought that, you know, like the other day when we went to Chick-fil-A this morning and the kids just went into the play place and I said, you know any friends in there? He's like, no, but I played with all these other kids and we just automatically started playing hide and seek. It's that kind of thing. Like I love when he says, bring the child to me, you know? Yeah. And it's sad becoming an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the bigger responses I get on Instagram when I post something is my failures. And people are like, oh, I've been there. I did that. It's rarely is like, you're an idiot, but that's what we're afraid of.
Right.
You know, to fail as an adult, I guess, and let everybody else know we failed.
Right.
And the bigger responses is when you show it and everybody's like, oh,
right.
You're human, well, just like me.
Yeah. Because that's part of the shared experience.
Uh-huh.
And that's, so McDo's logo is a lemon. And the reason is because the cliche of McDo, even though the name doesn't come from, well, I guess I'll just make do. Because it's more about, it's more positive than that. But the cliche is, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
That's awesome. I never thought of that.
That, you know, that process of making lemonade out of lemons is creativity. Like, you're taking something sour and you're combining it with other things and you're making it sweet. And then you don't go make your pitcher of lemonade and sit in the corner with a straw and like drink it all to yourself. You pour it out, you share it, you invite people in. So our creativity isn't just for us. The process, the things we're making is for others.
I'm just amazed at that whole analogy that you just threw out there. That's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Joe, you got a sermon.
You do.
Well,
you're in your platform.
Go, women. Do.
Women can preach.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah. So,
when you started it, were you? How did that? You got a place to go into? Did you just full on jump? Make the jump from, you know, side thing working to quit everything and full on go.
It was hard for me. So, I was coming back from Ireland and I knew so the idea kind of was born or whatever. I still had a year and a half left in Ireland. So I did some kind of played around with it in Ireland. I worked with an organization who, served women who were involved in prostitution. So most of them had been trafficked into Ireland. I went in once a week and sewed with them. And then you realize these women they know how to sew. So it they've been sewing their clothes forever. And so then I would say, oh, well, how did you do this in Africa or whatever? So we were able to learn from each other and it kind of levels the social playing field, I guess. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, my parents live in Dallas. I moved in with them. And for 2 years, it was a trudge. It was, we were talking about the Enneagram earlier, but now that I understand that, it helps me make sense of how icky those 2 years felt to me because I had this idea and I just didn't know how to get started. And I wanted to, I like to be the best, or I like the things that I do to look well done or like I know what I'm doing, and I had no clue what I was doing. And so it took me probably 4 months to come up with a name. And finally my dad was like, Joe, you have got to come up with a name. Just name it. Every obstacle felt like the biggest. Some things weren't even obstacles. They just were like, here's the next decision. And it felt like something too big for me to climb over. So I was there for 2 years and named it. And then a couple months later started teaching classes. But I didn't have a space. I mean, Dallas is expensive, so I couldn't afford a space. So I was driving to churches and teaching sewing classes. So I would I had all 10 of my sewing machines and all of the fabric and ironing boards and stuff to cut. And then I would like carry it in. We'd teach the class. I'd take it back. So it was ridiculous. And people are so busy. And there wasn't that other aspect of wanting to connect or wanting to build community.
So how did you start that? Did you just approach churches and said, here's what I'd like to do. Can I use the sanctuary or whatever? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
just provoked enough interest on your own. Okay.
And I mean, with people that, you know someone in a church who's like, oh yeah, we could teach that class or we'd do that class. Yeah.
Did you start out doing it for free?
No.
No.
But I charged way more there than I charge here.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dallas.
Because typically we all, I don't know, I feel like when I first started doing it, I almost handed stuff out because it was like, am I worth something?
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to quit that.
I'm getting Brian over that because he's way undercutting what he's worth.
Usually.
But that's good for you. If you just went in and said, like, this is what I'm worth. What's up?
But it's hard to value your own work. But
super hard.
Make do. I mean, it
you're
is
making
me.
Them work.
Right.
You're going to work and give me money.
Yeah. It's not as hard for me to charge on behalf of Make Do. What's been hard is for me to then pay myself.
Yourself. That's the double-edged sword.
But not for to get people to pay for class. Mm-hmm. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, anyway, I ended up in I've been in Searcy 3 years. Since you asked.
Okay. Yes.
I've been in Searcy 3 years.
Did you come back to Searcy?
To do this.
Straight up. You got a space.
It took me about 9 months. I adjuncted a class at Harding.
Oh. Was it a sewing class?
It was not. It was in the interior design department. It was their computer like drafting class, which was a program that I had not taken. So I was watching
teaching
YouTube. Another, anyone involved in higher education, quit listening.
That's awesome. Another. No, that,
or they're all like, yeah, we get that, it. That's what we do.
I remember stories like that, though, when I was at Harding and we would go to ad firms in Dallas, actually. I remember one trip and they would tell us, here's where I started. They told me, you know, back in the day, I had to learn Quark or something. And I learned it in 3 nights, not sleeping, you know, and got the job. And so that actually, yeah. I mean, that's a fire you just lit and got it done. So
I would watch YouTube videos and then go teach the class. And then I worked it into the syllabus that if you have a question and you don't know what to do, you have to prove to me that you found 3 YouTube videos showing you how to do it and you still don't know how to do it. And then I will.
Then ask me.
Yeah. So it was
so you
more
can
like.
Explain to me what you've just seen.
Cite your references and email them the night before.
So one of the objectives of the class was that people would be able to also learn, answer their own questions through the power of Google and YouTube. Because that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I taught that class and then I moved into our space in March of 2017.
Okay.
So we've been there 2 years.
How big is it?
It's about 1,500 square feet.
That's pretty big.
It's big. But also I'm upstairs. I'm pretty much in just a glorified landing. So you go upstairs and then there's make do. And then there's a photography studio with closed.
That's crazy.
So I'm not closed off to the downstairs at all. It just was like a weird nothing space.
Yeah. And
so
what's
that
below
made my
you?
Rent cheap. An art studio and a music store.
Okay.
Studio.
I have no idea where you are.
I'm on Art Street from Art Alley.
It's downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of know where
you
are.
Do you know
where
Center on the Square is?
Yes.
The theater? I'm right next door to them.
Okay. Okay.
It's funny. I know where you are just because of I've had to go to Zoe Photography.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, did I just walk through Meg?
Yeah, you did.
And I did. I was like, oh, that's cool.
People are just walking through your class.
Just so do you get people that just walk through your class and it's like, am I in the right place?
Yeah. Or they'll come upstairs and if...
Have a seat. You're like that guy from Dateline? Have a seat.
Please. Seat. Right here.
Start sewing.
If the photographers aren't there yet, then they have to wait. And so then it's really awkward. I'm like, you don't feel like you have to talk to me, please, because I don't want to feel like I have to talk to you. My social buffer's
not
here.
Force the conversation. My board's not here.
Yeah. I can't do it.
That's awesome.
Spoken like a true creative.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's the plan for Make Do? Is it you're at a space of, you can have so many per class if you've got one teacher. Can you get bigger? Do you want to get bigger?
So we're looking to move to a different space. I want 2 rooms. So we would have a sewing room set up all the time. The sewing machines would be out and then we would have another room. And we would increase the kids' classes that we offer. So I'm actually looking to hire someone soon.
First employee.
Nice.
Cody's going to have that problem too some point.
Yeah, I think organic's going to tank, so can you hire me?
Yes.
The show did not help you.
I'm kidding.
He's kidding. He just gave us a bunch of free stuff with his logo all over it.
I'm
doing
kidding.
Fine.
I'm doing fine. I'm actually going to go teach at Harding. I got YouTube videos to watch tonight.
Right. All right, there you go.
YouTube University to teach it, the real one. So you're having a problem where you don't have enough spots for all the kids?
I don't have enough time to teach everything and also do everything else that happens for Make Do. And my passion, I guess, is to find ways that we can engage with the community, partner with other organizations. So like next weekend, so I don't know when this is going to air, but next weekend we are having, I'm calling it Camp Createful, and it's for foster girls and then girls who have been referred by the Child Safety Center. So teens who have experienced some trauma.
Yeah.
And they'll come spend 3 days with me at Make Do. So we'll stay on campus at Harding and then we'll go to Make Do and we'll do creative activity combined with personal reflection and group discussion. So I'm working with the licensed therapist. We've got a whole curriculum that we've built. So we'll do the creative thing and then tie that into
you are a true like heart and soul and product.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's you really meshed everything. I had no idea. That it's amazing. Yeah. I'm really impressed. I haven't seen any of it, but listening to you talk about it, it's amazing.
I could talk about it all night. How long do we have?
40 more minutes. So,
oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah,
tell us more.
So last year we went, I went to a pay what you can model. So all of our classes, I have a suggested fee and then everything is pay what you can.
Wow.
So on the quilting class, the suggested fee is $150. And then I have people who pay nothing. I have people who pay $25, $50. A few people will pay more than the suggested fee, but it just means that anybody can come participate in what is happening at Make Do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not exclusive. You don't have to be able to afford it to come get the experience.
So that as a business model is really, that's working.
Well, I'm a nonprofit.
So that means
I can also get charitable giving and donations and stuff.
So augmented with donations. Mm-hmm. That's
if Make Do were not a nonprofit, I wouldn't be able to charge only $150 for a quilting class.
Okay.
And if I were charging more for a quilting class, Make Do could not be in Searcy. Like, it's just a weird, you know, we want to make creativity affordable and accessible. And if people don't think they can do it, why would they pay $300 to come take a class on something that they don't think they can do?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
So,
but you found that balance. You found where you need to be. Well, there's that MBA.
There you go. Thanks, Harding.
Plus some experience beforehand.
Yeah. Do you think if you were in a bigger city, you could be nonprofit easily and grow? Do you think that would be a bigger change? Like, make more money, I guess. If you were in a bigger city, would the model change?
I don't know that the model would change. I think it would be scaled up, possibly.
Okay.
But in a larger community, you might lose that community.
Right.
Mm.
Because there was not... Okay, like in Dallas, Searcy just has an infrastructure for community because it's small here. So you're likely to run into someone you know. Mm. Like if during the school year I go to Walmart Brian's lunch break, I'm going to probably see him walking in.
It's where I see or all my students store.
Using the internet. Teachers.
But I didn't know. But see, once you said that on the podcast, it made sense. I thought that's why I
always see him.
Probably saw Brian there all the time when I would go to Walmart.
Punched in his internet corner.
So you
I'm Instagramming, leave me alone. On the Lego aisle.
The Lego aisle. Yes.
So it's likely you're gonna run into someone you know here.
Yeah.
So if you take a class at Make Do, it's likely that you will see that person again at some point. And then you will say, I know you, didn't we take that class together? Mm-hmm. And now you have shared experience to have a conversation on.
And that's the best advertising you could possibly have. Like, do you advertise at all? Because you have so many connections, it seems like you wouldn't really even need to.
No, I guess Insta stories are my advertising.
Your Instagram is pretty much all you do.
I've gotten stopped in Hobby Lobby a few times. People say, you're that Make Do lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have awesome. That experience.
Yeah.
Cody's going to get that experience when his show comes out.
No, they'll be like, I think your face looks familiar.
They're going to be like, you're that guy that did the Broga with Ty.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked our Instagram, did I post on mine or our Instagram? Right. I reposted. And check his Instagram, too. I reposted the... they were doing yoga together with Ty Pennington.
Yeah.
They're like best buds now.
We were doing the Brotus flower.
Yeah.
Yep.
Flying way up high.
So tell us about, you guys have the common connection of the TV show. Because you applied
some shared
as well.
Experience there.
So that was even funny because I walked in, I didn't know really anybody. But Joe is like the friendliest person. And I love how she keeps saying like she needs a buffer for social.
She's like, hanging in the corner.
But she's like the friendliest person. That's why people talk to you, Joe. If you just put a scowl on your face, people will leave you alone.
Well, I do Trust have me, a scowl. True. But it's not hard to smile on Insta story for 15 seconds. You know?
Yeah.
But
anyway, so like we walked in. Joe was the only person that like I was really talking to. Because still didn't feel like I belonged in that room because I was in my garage.
You didn't know anyone before you went into the group
other
of
than
things, right?
Amelia and Josie from Savor and Sit, but I don't think they were even there yet. They were running late.
Because were you already sitting down? Yeah. And I came and sat with you. It was the beard. It made you look friendly.
Yeah, I got resting beard face.
Friendly. My work won't let me have any facial hair. I can only have it on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, what's the excuse for the top?
Yeah. He's running. Yeah, I told them if I can't have it up here, at least let me have it down here.
Yeah.
They said no.
So, but I do want to know. So you, the small business revolution, but then there's the Cersei Fund,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing something for the six runner-up. What are they? Have they done anything yet? Or
first, we should say you were one of the runner-ups.
That's right.
So there was 12,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
the 12. They choose 12. Chose 12.
12.
And you were one of the six that didn't get chosen.
Right.
So you're not the worst business in Cersei. Congratulations.
Well, no, I know. Like 200 and how many businesses applied and were reviewed, right?
And I was the worst. Made,
that's right.
Cody made the top worst. No, yeah. Cody made the top six.
I was one of the Make top Do six was, worst businesses, yes.
Okay.
So does that mean Make Do is one of the top 12?
That's right. Make Do is more solvent than organic. They didn't need the help.
Well, yeah.
You're doing something right. That's all I mean. Take it as a compliment.
Obviously, she's doing something right. Yeah. She brings people in, makes them work, and they pay her. I don't get
how. Wow. Yeah. You need to run that business model. But they get to
take home what they make. I don't make them work for me so then I can sell what they make.
Like, come here and make this table. All right, I'll leave.
It's all about the experience.
What did you learn?
We're out of experience. Did you learn anything about yourself? I learned I can't use a saw. Me too. Now get out.
No one can take that from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't have to pay workers' comp, I guess, if they are coming
no
to
W-4.
Just, that's right.
If you're teaching them how to use the saw.
You seriously need to look at this business model. It's, I'm liking it.
Organic is now a nonprofit.
I'll be a board member.
You want to be on the board?
Gotcha.
Any board members? Mm-hmm. I'd ask Brian. Just
I don't want to be on the board.
Sure.
No. Mm-hmm.
You have to have three.
I got to have three?
Mm-hmm.
That's a requirement by law.
Are you in?
Interesting. Yes. Sierra is here. Come over and say hi real quick. She does our show notes, and she made it up into town, and she's going to jump on and say hi to y'all.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And that's it. Thank you.
Good job. So, Sierra,
we're so glad you came. Thank you.
She works very, very hard. Like, I've read the show notes only because I feel like I'm obligated to, because I know she went through the time of writing them.
Yes.
Good for you.
And sometimes I'm reading this and going, we really need to figure out what we're going to talk about before we do it, because we're idiots.
We'd have to have somebody write that down for us.
Yeah.
I tried to do the first episode show notes, and I realized I'm not a writer, and I am not a speller. So, we thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for what you do, Sierra.
And she's still working hard on that beef jerky. So if you know anybody that would like to donate
beef jerky
mm-hmm. and sponsor us.
That's right.
But not Oberto. We're not doing that one. Mm. You guys keep your beef jerky.
What's wrong with Oberto?
Garbage.
Garbage?
Yeah, I'll say
don't
that.
Don't like it?
I'll say that.
All right. That Wicked Cuts they sent me was really good. I don't know.
So Ben likes it.
Right. I did. Right, I was a fan. All right. Tell us more about the option, I guess, when you were finding out about the businesses. What more are you involved with the small business revolution?
Yeah. So Deluxe actually reached out to all of the that's the company behind Small Business Revolution. Reached out to the six runners up, and they, I think, are doing something for everybody. So they helped me get my trademark. So I trademarked Make Do, and I also trademarked Be Createful.
Oh.
So that's in process. TM.
Nice.
You're going to throw a TM on the shirt.
Yeah.
That's really cool, girl.
I could, with a Sharpie, I guess, we can write TM.
Yeah.
But when it's trademarked, it'll get the R in the circle.
R. What does that do for you? I mean, nobody can steal it from you, but
I mean, they could.
Totally legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely legitimizes you, I guess.
You can sue and get rich.
Okay. it just, I think, lets us protect the brand. So, and I came up with Be Createful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm actually surprised it wasn't a thing already, but it wasn't. we'll get Be Createful and then Make Do.
Yeah.
And then you asked about the Revolution Fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of on hold for me until I'm in a new space, because a lot of what I need would maybe be like exterior or signs or something.
Mm.
So we're just going to hold off on that for a second.
Awesome.
Is there any signage in front of the building for you right now?
Yeah. Yes. I made our signs.
Okay.
And I did not. They're made out of plywood, but we didn't seal them. And so now they're like all warped. Yeah.
Well, we know some woodworkers who could probably make something good for you.
Yeah. Something like that.
But we're doing it on the cheap.
You teach me how to use that CAD. What were we using? Computer aided drafting?
We used Revit.
Revit. Mm-hmm. You teach me how to use Revit. Mm-hmm. So go home, watch some YouTube.
Watch some YouTube.
And I will make you a sign. I think we could do that.
Never heard of Revit.
So
before.
I painted them.
What is Revit exactly?
It stands for Revise Instantly. That's where Revit comes from. And it's what they use. It's what most places use now. So it's a building. I'm going to get this wrong. It's been a while since I taught the class. Yeah. It's a building system. I mean, you can do everything in 3D and all at once versus AutoCAD that just draws 2D.
I got you.
You have to like extrapolate or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. But in Revit, you tell it when you're putting in a wall. You say, this is the type of wall, and this is how tall it is.
So kind of like SketchUp a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're building a house in Revit? Is that what it's mainly for?
Or homes? You can build anything. Yeah, you can build anything.
Build whatever you want.
Yeah. Well,
I think engineers can use it for, you know. Yeah. Like, we can make this microphone in Revit.
Cool.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, it's a 3D modeling program.
Yeah, it sounds like SketchUp or Fusion.
Good. You need to make me some models for my 3D printer. We'll print them out.
For what?
I don't know. We can make the lemon or just your...
Like, I don't want to do that.
Okay. I was thinking
model
like...
Model people?
For, yeah, like...
Yeah, no, I don't know.
For an interior design class.
We made a 3D model of a room and put a couch in it.
I just meant an object of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're nerds, and so we made an Optimus Prime. Well, he did.
I did.
And it looks pretty awesome.
I printed out Optimus Prime.
Get him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what we do.
Cody, give us an update on the show stuff going on for you, because a lot has happened this week.
Yeah. So and today was the final filming for Organic.
You done?
Yeah, we're done.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's pretty sad.
Bittersweet.
Mostly bitter. I mean, these people, like, Deluxe is awesome. I love the people at Deluxe. They've done a phenomenal job. But like Flow Nonfiction, the production company. They're just really awesome people. It's a collective group of people. Director Matt Naylor. I don't know. They're just really cool people, and they've been doing this for so long. They have a really good, like, just cohesive motion to things. Like, it's just very smooth. A lot of nonverbal communication, just really getting stuff done. And for me to see that, it was just like, wow, that's just awesome. Like, they just have this down. And they're just super easy to work with, and it was good having them around, honestly. So
I drove by today, and I saw your side shop open, and they were measuring a measure tape from the camera.
Yeah.
What was going on?
So they did the before shots of the space on a track, and then so they just had to mimic it with everything in it now.
Was the before it was just empty, I guess, and now it's got all the tools and stuff.
All the tools in.
Yeah.
And the concrete's fixed and the walls are up and stuff like that.
Right.
They did too.
I thought they'd do the before in your garage.
Yeah.
Oh, they did that too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. But, I mean, that was like pan. Okay, we're good. That's a wrap. So, when you move into, like, 3,500 square feet, then it's like, okay, now we have to actually work.
Did they come do an after in your garage too? Like with the cars back in?
No.
No, I went over the other day. They still got random stuff, like just a box here and a box there. No cars in the garage.
Hey, that's not on
me. How do you have a garage and not park a car in it?
I'm not parking a car in it. That's for Megan to do. Mm. I wasn't going to park my truck in there. I mean, I was
obviously, it's a two-car garage.
It's chivalry, man. All right? I was letting my wife park in there first.
Good for you.
And has she?
No. Just because I let her doesn't mean she's going to do anything that I want her to do.
You need to clean it up so she can put it in.
Yeah.
Well, can I come park my car in your garage?
Yeah,
it's
real.
Too hot to leave your car out right now.
So your apartment is on Main Street, right? Mm-hmm. And the only reason I know this is because you did the story with Amanda was at your apartment on your balcony.
She came to my house.
Are you on a second floor on something on there? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Glass from the Past is below you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
you live above Glass from the Past?
Well, I live next to and above Glass from the Past.
That is awesome. Yeah. So you are downtown.
If there's any creepy people listening to this podcast,
oh, gosh. You need to
don't come find
out.
Me.
Never mind.
That's okay. I insta story from there, anyways.
Yeah. It's geotagged.
It's geotagged.
This is where I am.
So I was just thinking, I was like, I
there's a big mural across the street from me.
Art alley will put your address.
Yeah, yeah.
Follow these
this
arrows.
This is why I live off the grid. I don't need people looking me up.
Hey, speaking of, I tried to call you and your phone went right to. This person has no minutes. You cannot answer the phone.
Because I live in 1994 and I add minutes manually.
You have a minute plan.
I don't have a data plan.
But you know, in Ireland, you don't have to have minutes to receive a call.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
so
America.
You can receive calls
so really,
for free.
He's ignoring for Ben.
No, yeah, I did not ignore. No.
Do you get free minutes in the evening still?
No, is that still a thing?
I remember that.
8 o'clock?
Yeah. Dude, uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that. Like, I'd be like, oh, I can't call anybody until like 9.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Sarah, how old are you?
I'm 23.
You don't remember those
She's
days.
Like, what are these idiots talking about?
Let's take that back. I remember dial-up. I remember not making a call from the home phone.
Okay, good. Good for you.
My mom had a Nokia, like, brick.
Brick phone, absolutely. Indestructible.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with those things. They had no updates, no operating system above like, you know, basic binary. And like now drug runners will pay hundreds of dollars for them because they're untraceable and they never die.
Yep.
Okay. So why did we have to leave that? Sorry.
My microphone's about to fall off the table.
Take a breath.
A little passionate.
Sorry, guys.
The man loves his Nokia.
You need to do some yoga with Brian. Yeah. Calm him down.
Yeah. Come on.
Teach him some poses.
Namaste, bro. Namaste.
Brian, what have you been up to in the art world since
So a couple of things. The guys that all went in together and bought me my iPad.
Yeah.
I made a bunch of loot boxes for them. And filled it with 3D printed boxes, and I forget what else, and free art, and what else did I put in there? I put a bunch of artwork and 3D printed sculptures, and I threw it at them, basically. If I was close enough, like here in town, like I would find them, and I threw it at their heads, and then I mailed the rest to the other people that were not in town. So that was my thank you to them.
So you completed
they
a project.
Known better. Yeah, I actually completed a
That's
project.
Amazing.
I did. Yeah. And I went up a mountain with my brother on his bachelor trip because his idea of a bachelor party is going up a mountain and almost freezing to death. And I took a wood plaque with me up there because I wanted all of us to sign it and give it to him at the wedding, but we didn't make it to the top because there was five feet of snow on our way. It was Pecos Baldy Mountain in New Mexico.
And was it in the Pecos Wilderness?
It's past Pecos Canyon, so yes, I think so. Have you been out there?
We used to go camping there because I grew up in West Texas.
I
went on my first backpacking trip when I was 9.
You're kidding.
With my daddy. We went probably 4 miles.
And she went to 4 miles.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's 4 miles is good.
I mean.
And for a 9-year-old?
And then he taught me how to play gin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Did you go to the top?
No.
We didn't climb anything.
No, because I was like, well, we walked yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we played gin in the tent. Yeah.
Played gin.
And then I collected pine cones and
and
threw them into the fire.
That's nice.
And then we left.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm surprised there was snow up there. I don't know why.
Historically, it's usually gone by, when was that? Mid-June? What's today?
Late June.
This is late June. I'm sorry. It was early-ish June. So, I mean, we were taking our chances, but there was still way more than there should have been. Like, we came across signposts 5 feet tall, and we barely saw the top of them.
Really?
And we knew that we were in deep because we kept
How high were
it.
What was your elevation?
The peak is at 12,530. My brother and I made it to – we broke 12,000. We got to about 12,100. And then it was past noon, and he was like, this is stupid. This is dangerous. We're turning around right now. Yeah. So we did.
I got to get married, boys.
That's what he was thinking. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, all right, I'm married, 3 kids. I should probably turn around. But,
yeah. If I die up here, she's going to kill me. Yeah.
That's what he thought,
Again.
So
I'm going to have to wait for the snow to thaw.
Yeah, so we will be back, but it will be in late June or early July.
That's the time to go because it's miserable here.
Yes, today was miserable.
It's gross right here.
Man, I just left the shop. I don't have AC.
He does not have AC. It's terrible. I don't know
how you do that.
It's the best weight loss program. It's like
I get you to are work. Pretty thin and
I
trim.
Get to work in a sauna.
Yeah, oh,
gosh, I mean,
that's his TV body.
Yes. Yeah, there it is.
That's from my broga. So.
And you're gonna be on one episode. Is that?
Yeah, that's if I'm lucky, do an episode if I'm lucky, per, I'll be on one episode.
They filmed enough.
You get a whole episode.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They might just edit me out. And it'd completely. It'd be a lot of organic.
So this is organic. We don't know who works here.
Interviews with Megan, and then like the sign again, and then interviews with Megan, and then there like you go. A quick
shot of you sanding something, and then
sign again. Yeah.
So the first episode will be the 12th.
Yes.
And oh, you're on it.
Yeah.
What do they do? They come to your shop or
they came to my shop after I found out I was not one of the businesses to make.
So you're sitting over there. Like,
so it was weird.
So when did they come? That day, right? That we were all supposed to be shooting B-roll.
They came on Friday to tell me, but you don't know if you made it or not. Mm-hmm. It was very stressful. I wish they would have told me before. I just wish.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't tell you, right? They just showed up and said, hey, surprise.
And because they want you to be surprised. So I understand why they don't say, hey, if you don't make it, we'll let you know. Because then you would know by default. But
ratings.
I wish they would have scheduled a time with me regardless. So, you know, okay, they're going to come in at some time during this. Because, I mean,
you're on edge.
You're by yourself, too. Like, you just have to be available.
That's it.
And then you're scared to go to the bathroom. Like, what if they come or not? I'm in the bathroom. Yeah.
And I was the last stop. I was right before everybody went downtown.
5:30, and it started at 6?
Yeah. Right. So they were like, yeah, we'll be there around 5:30. So 5:30, a camera guy and one of the producers show up. And I was like,
oh, gosh.
Okay.
And so they did schedule with you for that day?
Yeah. No.
See, they scheduled my B-roll for Saturday. So then I was like, that means I didn't win. And then she said, well, not necessarily. And I was like,
make up your mind.
Are you a little bitter still?
No, not at all.
Does it hurt seeing Cody over there?
It's okay. I'm over it.
I was very like, so like 5:30 rolled around or whatever, and I was like, okay. And then the camera guy and them showed up, and I was like, well, I didn't make it. I was like, well, whatever. I'm cool. I'm a guy in his garage. I made it to the top 12.
There you go.
When I got picked for the top 30, I thought it was like, oh no. So like I thought the picture of the house didn't go through where I circled the garage.
And I was, this is all a mistake.
I'm really legit.
And so like when like they were like, oh, you made the top 30, I was like, oh man, they're gonna be so mad because I took somebody's spot. And then they show up and I was like, it's a garage. And like Cam and Julie were like, yeah, we know. And I was like, all right, that's weird. And so then the top 12, and like I was the first one to go in for the interview too.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm just like, either A, they just made me come to the top 12 to be like, make it an easy decision for the next 11 that they have to choose from. And because I've seen the other episodes,
like,
they didn't pick anybody everybody they've picked had like a storefront and like was already kind of doing it.
They were established.
Yeah. Not me.
It was rather atypical, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was pretty nuts.
Broke the mold.
That first interview, like, it was very stressful. Like,
because did you go in there by yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like, and they just had the lights on you. It's very weird because
I felt like I was being interrogated.
Kind of like in here.
Yeah.
Who are you? What are you doing for a living?
But then there's all these people in the shadows.
In the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. Creepy.
Well, and I kept interacting with them, and I don't think we were supposed to.
Look at the camera.
But it just felt
weird. Do not
talk
to the man behind the curtain. Yeah.
And then it feels awkward, so you make a joke, and then you're like, that's funny, right?
We have a job.
Did they come over and powder you and do you all up and stuff?
No.
No?
They only did it to me once, and it was actually in Minnesota, and it's because the camera guy said, do you guys see that? And they're like, what? And I guess there was like this eyebrow hair that was like doing this thing. And they were like, yeah, we see it, but we didn't know what to say anything. And I was like, what are you guys looking at?
What's
like,
wrong with
that? And it was just an eyebrow hair. So, like, the makeup lady came over, and she, like, did my eyebrows. Like,
on set.
We just tweezed
them off. Megan was laughing so hard. So, like, I've never, like, I don't know, I'm a guy. I've never done my eyebrows. And so, like, I had my eyebrows done for the first time in Minnesota, too. There's been a lot of experiences.
What happened last night? Was it last night? Saturday?
Was it Beats and Eats?
Beats and Eats?
Yeah.
Or last night? I left it. Like 6. So I got my say cheese, fried cheese, and left.
You were right next to McDo's booth.
I saw the booth. I didn't see you.
I was probably hiding behind my social.
I'm by myself. That's true. I'm by myself this weekend with two boys. I was just trying to lose them. So, and I was hunting for the cheese.
Yeah.
But what happened last night? Did you all go on stage or anything? You had tents set up and they just...
No, they had tents for us to set up. And like, I don't do tents. Like, I have not done like a Beats and Eats as far as like the makers fairs or things like that.
Yeah.
Because I do custom furniture, not, you know, right. It's like, yeah, let me bring in this table.
Haul in your custom furniture.
Yeah, haul in a hutch or whatever. And so, but I just made a bunch of cutting boards.
Cool.
Brought them. And
there you go.
I gave more away than I sold, obviously.
Yeah.
I have a problem with giving stuff away.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
it was a weird one. I don't think there weren't as many people as the first.
No.
It was because it was hot.
And because the first time everyone wanted to see who the six businesses were.
It's true.
And then now
everybody went the first time and was like, okay, I didn't get on TV too in the crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you have a booth at one of these and you don't sell stuff, what are you trying to do?
Well, it's been a bit of an evolution. So at first I did sell stuff. So I made little earrings cause I had more time. I wasn't teaching as many classes. So I would sell things. I always have, class samples out. So like I don't know if y'all saw the city, like the Cersei t-shirt quote that I did. It's got like shirts from Sorry.
Break the microphone.
I'm so excited about
she
this quote.
She bagged it.
You can't see it, but it's she got, talks with her hands.
Shirts. Well, if you watch on YouTube, you can see it.
Definitely that's watch.
Right. It's got shirts from all over Cersei. Anyway, so I had that out. We just launched a new fundraising campaign. So, podcast people, we're trying to increase our monthly support by $1,000 a month. So I launched.
How do they, if they're listening on the podcast and they want to help you out, where can they
I'll
find
you? I'll tell you. So the campaign slogan is be part of the big picture. Get it?
Yeah.
And so we're trying to increase by $1,000 a month. And the way we're showing that is we've got 200 lemons and each lemon represents $5. So I think a lot of people think, $1,000, like I can't give $100 a month, but really $5 a month makes a difference. Like it goes into the pitcher and then as everyone gets involved, the pitcher gets filled up. Mm. So, you can donate on my website, makedocreate.org. You can also send me an email if you want bank draft and I can send you a form to do that or online. It's through PayPal. So we had that out there last night and you know, with a pretty sign and a pitcher and 200 lemons. Well, actually only 64 lemons because I bought them all at Hobby Lobby and they had to order me more lemons.
Took all the lemons from Hobby Lobby.
I did.
Well, at least we have a Hobby
when
Lobby.
When Hobby Lobby gives you lemons,
you steal them all.
You buy them all.
Do you have a revolving account there?
I should. Yeah. I don't know. They act like maybe they don't want to embarrass me. That they haven't already seen me three times in one day. You know?
Let's not make this awkward and weird.
We all know I was already here.
What makes you get a .org instead of a .com?
Well, because you're a nonprofit
organization.
Yeah.
Okay. Company. I didn't know what the difference was there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's confusing. You guys can give me your opinion. Well, I can't change it, but you can still give me your opinion.
You can change it.
Because Make Do was already taken. So it's Make Do Create. But then a lot of people think that the name of my business is Make Do Create.
But it's only Make Do?
It's just Make Do. And then on Instagram, you know, because like all the forms of just Make Do are taken. So then I had to get creative and add the create. And I don't know. I'm not convinced that I like it.
I had to change on Etsy because I'm Myers Woodshop on everything. But on Etsy, somebody already had Myers Woodshop. Mm-hmm. So I had to be Ben Myers Woodshop. That drives me nuts. But people still find me.
Yeah.
I don't.
Is make doo-doo?
Wow.
Like.
I'm just saying like.
Here.
No?
Stopped up. Eat your veggies. Make doo-doo. Like that?
Do lemons help with that?
I don't know. Prunes do.
Change the lemon to a prune. Make do.
Make do.
Hilarious.
You can donate at Make Doo Doo. Mm-hmm.
Help us make doo doo.
Help fill the bowl.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. I don't know how to transition out of this.
Yeah. Just,
I think make do create is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that would. I actually, even if that you told me it's make do, I still.
Especially if you're working in createful with your brand.
Yeah.
That's it. Makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah.
If one day you have the opportunity, of course, you know, snag it.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, what have you been up to?
I've been up to nothing.
Nothing?
No.
You done anything for that giant sign we're supposed to be working
on? No, I'm waiting for you.
Because I'm painting. You're just waiting on me.
Okay. There's nothing left to do. We're making a giant sign. Yeah. So I got a guy who wanted to make a big sign for his place. And I'm CNC'd out everything. And I asked Brian before I said yes. I said, hey, I'm not a painter. I don't want to paint. I hate it. I'm not an artist. I said, hey, I'll do all the wood stuff if you paint the thing. Would you go halves with me and do that? He said, yeah. So that's what we did. So I did all my part and I gave it to him and said, paint.
Mm.
And
no, I'm painting.
Waiting on Brian.
Sherwin-Williams is not exactly being the
color
most
matching.
Helpful. Color matching is not, it's a complete fraud. Okay. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm never doing this again.
Okay. Well, there you go. Color matching a picture in paint is near impossible. I guess.
Even when I don't want to be overly negative here, but we had a formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was given to us.
Yes. Okay. We had the formula.
We got
that
it
was
duplicated
good.
By professionals.
Right.
It is not the same color.
It's not the same color.
It's not.
No. Hmm. So heads up, if you ever color match off a picture.
Well, because doesn't the different. Type of color, the type of paint matters too, right? Like
possibly,
if it's
but we
oil
got the same
latex or
interior latex.
But we got the exact same paint that the formula was made from. Yeah. That the formula
at
was good.
Williams
at a Sherwin-Williams. And it still doesn't translate.
And they told us that,
1,000 miles.
Right? They told you or
said,
they told
yeah.
him. They're like, hey,
yeah.
just be advised, even though we have this
right.
formula, it may not look exactly alike. Not What's even, the point?
Yeah, I don't know. So apparently that's tough.
Yes, tough to do.
All right, you can.
I like it.
Are we doing okay?
Brian's yeah. showing off okay. his picture, looking good. The hair. The hair is really what
it is. Hair and glasses.
What's it? What is that
Cody,
called?
And you kind of have the same hair.
Quaff? Is that a quaff?
I don't know.
Maybe so.
So Amanda was saying, "Oh, you got a pretty sweet coif," and I was like, "I don't know
what is that."
But that's what she, I guess,
yeah. Because hers is like always.
Yeah, she's got the yeah. Do you notice she talks with her hands like this up a lot? Because I've been watching the season, and her hands are always up here. I think professional hosts use their hands up. I don't know why.
Probably so you can see them. Because if they're just down here.
Well, moving around,
then you just see.
Keeps your attention.
Yes.
To
Should I do that in my YouTube videos
now?
No.
Talk like.
No, don't just do that.
So, are you going to put out any YouTube videos?
I don't know. Do you want to record some
I mean,
YouTube
how else
videos?
Am I going to learn to sew?
No, I'm sure that exists. You could do so much on YouTube. Have you ever considered any of that?
Doing content creation for Make Do.
Yeah. The thing is...
Time.
The time.
Mm-hmm. It is a time. So.
For sure. Everything takes 4 times
I think your
longer.
Priority with community building and everything right now is it's more local anyway. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think that where it would line up would be, you don't live in Searcy, but you want to come, you want to be grateful with your people.
Online courses.
Here's a class.
Mm.
Yeah.
Watch this and you can teach a college class.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, what if you go to the college and say, hey, I need an intern in interior design or web stuff and say, come make YouTube videos for me.
Have you ever worked with the college students before?
I was one.
I've never worked. I was one too, but... They are well-intentioned.
Mm.
And then they get busy.
Sierra's like, recommend against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of
the worst.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
somebody out, somebody somewhere, not me, can do that full-time for you. I know it. So maybe somebody listen and somebody get connected and make some video. I mean, you have the content already there. It just has to be cut and filmed.
So you're looking at hiring,
We've filmed
right?
a few hand embroidery tutorials. Huh. Elizabeth Reeves came and filled them.
Where are they at?
They're just not. They're just, you know, it gets busy. I haven't seen them.
They're on.
They might be bad.
Mm, okay.
Mm.
Consider it though.
So
I think that could be a way you could, once you reach the limit in Searcy, maybe to reach out farther or maybe franchise yourself somewhere. Have you thought about doing that at all?
Mm.
You reach your limit in Searcy and move somewhere else?
Of doing it all.
Oh, you think of doing it all?
Yeah. I mean, you know, but then you wake up. And you think, what am I going to do today? And then you're so overwhelmed by all the things that you've thought about.
You have your panic attack, and then you go to this.
And then you're like, wait a minute, why am I panicked about franchising make-do? I should just worry about that. That's not a real thing yet.
Like, why am I panicking about something that hasn't happened? Yeah. It isn't happening, and I'm just in my head.
I do that with my wife. When the kids cough or something, she goes right to, they're sick. I'm like, no, that's the last thing. And then they end up being sick.
And they get sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what else you can do.
I mean, it's on that list.
It's on the list. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll need a year later.
Okay.
Come back. See where you're at.
Yeah.
She's YouTube famous. She won't do this podcast anymore.
That's true.
Yeah, because I'll be like, this is where I started.
That's right. The OG.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our hour here. So you have anything else you want to leave us with? Any other places you want people to go to find you? How do they sign up for your classes if they're listening?
Yeah, so you can sign up on the website, makedocreate.org. And if you don't live here, you can still come. You could definitely fit some sleeping bags in here. You can bring your sleeping bag, and you can come sleep
stay in my shop.
Ben's shop.
Yep.
And then you can come take a class and make do.
You have everything but a bathroom. You'd be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Now,
if we have anybody that wants to volunteer to help you, especially like when you're doing these, like this camp over thing with the foster girls or whatever, is there a way or form that they need to fill out in order to be able to volunteer to help with Make Do?
I have a Google survey that you can fill out. I don't know if it's on the website. I will get it on the website by the time this podcast airs.
And we will have the link on.
Okay.
Yes. We'll post it on our website, the buildguildpodcast.com, and we'll put it on.
And I'll put it on Organic Woodwork as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
You can come teach a class. You can come help prep a class. You can come.
What kind of classes could you teach? Are you wanting to branch out farther?
Yeah, like I mean,
anything we can do make something.
Make Do does not have access to running water.
So does it have to be in your building?
No.
Okay.
I haven't ever done one not in my building.
I have a warehouse where you can play like floor hockey.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There's no electricity.
Can
we start fires in your
window? But we can totally start a fire. I got the wood.
So
let me get that insurance.
Yeah. Or maybe, you do want the end.
Yeah. So it's not limited to any.
So I don't have a sink. So we can't do anything, like we can't really do cooking classes or things that require water, like tie-dye or, stuff that, do watercolor, but we carry it up.
In a water bottle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we're a little limited right now.
So if there's anybody listening that has space that could somewhat, I don't know, host a class.
Yeah. Oh, and we do private parties. So you can,
that's awesome.
If you want to have a Createful Shindig at Make Do, you can.
We're going
to.
Shindig, is that what it is?
Can you give us, and I'm dead serious, a Build Guild party with our wives and our kids come and we all make something?
Yeah.
And then we'll post a picture about it.
Yeah.
We want to do that. I don't know what. But you can think of something.
We'll do it not in That'll July. Be
cool. No, we'll not
in At some July. Point.
Yeah.
When we can, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's our time. Thanks for so much for coming.
Thanks for having
me. Sharing the amazing
stuff. I was
going to
Google a bunch of like woodworking terms so that I could hang when y'all started talking about that.
Are you going to YouTube it and teach the class?
I did actually build myself a table, my coffee table. And
good for you.
Because I also needed something to sew on. So I built the top and then it's got pipe. And then I can flip it up and add more pipe to raise it. So
post a picture on your Instagram. You're at Make Do
Create.
At Make Do Create.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At Make Do Create. That's where you can find her, and maybe a picture of that.
Okay.
Don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So, anything else you guys want to say?
No.
Anything for the week?
Okay.
All right. Thank y'all.
All right. Bye.
Have a good one. See you later. Bye.